Apple lets you repair your phones with used parts this time. The Humane AI pin seems like a disappointment, and AMD getting stuck on the new GPU. Let's get in the hot news, everybody. I'm your Brett host. We're going to be going over the hottest tech news I can find on the internet while you enjoy your breakfast this Friday, April 12, 2024. We're going to start off today with the big news that Apple released regarding how they're going to allow you to service and repair your devices. This is a change that they're making to their iPhone repair policy, which makes it so that now you can have certified used parts actually go into your phone, meaning that you don't just have to pay for brand new replacements on various different things. This includes a whole bunch of different parts, including biometric sensors, but it will start with the iPhone 15. And this will also be rolled out to not only just service departments, but also for the self-repair section so that you can repair your own phone with used parts that are certified by Apple, which Apple is still doing this because they have their parts pairing process, which makes it so things like the screen or the camera have to be bound to the actual device ID of your phone, which they say is necessary for different things like privacy, security, and safety of the iPhone, which they do have like a modest argument in terms of this makes it so that you can't have a harvesting factory for stealing iPhones, taking out the parts and then putting them into different places. There has to be some sort of parts compatibility on that side. But then anybody who's against this is just saying that this is preventing third-party repair shops from having an honest litany of used parts that they could put into a different phone because, you know, they have dead phones that are coming into their shops all of the time, and now they can't scrap all of those and reuse them in a way that's appropriate. So this is frustrating for a certain sector of people. It is better than it used to be, but there is some legislation that's in the work in certain states like Oregon, who's trying to get parts pairing banned, which could potentially change how Apple chooses to approach this in the future. But it's a step forward by Apple. For a lot of people, it's not far enough, but I think we can celebrate the win while also recognizing that it introduces a few problems that some people don't like to have. But a problem a lot of people do like to have is, where do they put all of their hard drives? Where do you stick them? I personally delete all of my storage, but if you're one of the people who likes to keep it around, well then today's video sponsor Silverstone has got something for you. Their CS832 NAS case is here. You can check it out at the link in the video description, but it's a compact micro ATX case that's a culmination of everything Silverstone's learned after selling NAS cases for more than 10 years. They started with the DS380 in 2013. It has 8 hot swap bays that support 2.5-inch or 3.5-inch drives, up to SAS 12GB or SATA 6GB, and all of them can be locked behind a beautifully designed, vented, and filtered front door that also keeps access to buttons and I/O ports safe from intentional or accidental access. They've got other cool features like the inclusion of a 5.25-inch drive bay for further storage expansion, a slim optical drive bay, long graphics card / RAID card support, a USB-C port, large air cooler support, and liquid cooling support for a radiator up to 280 millimeters. You can really pack this thing out. It's one of the very few modern NAS cases, and Silverstone's here bringing it to you. You can check it out at the link in the video description, the CS382 NAS case from Silverstone. Big thanks to them for sponsoring today's video. But you know what doesn't have hard drives? Max, okay, because Apple wants to make them as thin as possible. Now they want to put in as much AI as possible. It's being reported that the M4 Max that we're expecting to get launched at the end of the year are going to include AI cores and AI features, and it's gonna be a big ol' Apple innovation fest. That's what AI stands for. You thought it was artificial intelligence, it's really just Apple innovating everywhere. I don't have much to say about this besides they kind of have to, right? The AI wave did not die down as quickly as crypto did in a few different places, and it's being viewed as kind of the bastion of what publicly traded companies have to do if they're in the tech sector. NVIDIA caught up to Apple just by virtue of the fact that they are powering all of these AI machines, and so, of course, Apple's going to have to do it despite the fact that for the past few years / months, they have refused to say machine learning, artificial intelligence. It was not present in any keynote, any public presentation until they launched the Vision Pro, because that's kind of when it reached this fever pitch of you have to talk about it, which is exactly what this next little bit's about. The Humane AI pin. In case you haven't heard of it, I'm thankful for you, and I hope you continue to be naive. Maybe just skip past this part. It's a little device that's made by former Apple engineers that's supposed to bring AI to the literal palm of your hand, and it launched yesterday, so a lot of reviews are coming out for this thing that costs $700, the cost of a smartphone, plus a $24 a month mobile data plan, and turns out this thing is not great. It's kind of like a lot of the first wave NFT Web3 crypto stuff. It makes promises that it can't deliver on. And I guess I personally am feeling a lot of schadenfreude about this. I kind of thought this was a ridiculous thing. Like, I do enjoy when there is new tech that serves a small subsect of people that, like, is supposed to be niche, but it's, like, really cool. Like the NAS case, right? I personally don't like hard drives. I don't want a spinning disk anywhere near me. But I understand the population that this is going for. For the Humane AI pin, I feel really hard to see who this is actually for, where it solves no problems that many people have. It feels like it's just being shoehorned into tech bro, crypto bro lifestyles, and I personally don't like it for that reason. So, I have a lot of bias, negative, wholehearted, guttural dislike for this thing. And the reviews are bad, including the fact that it gets hot and that it's slow and it doesn't do too much. However, photos look pretty good. It's well made, like an Apple device. And it's much easier to access than your phone, according to The Verge. And then Engadget says that it's a novel projector that beams a screen onto your palm, which is, it's kind of neat. It's like kind of a new way of interacting with tech. I kind of want to see where that goes. But the fact that it has to be tied to AI is where I feel misses the mark. Effective interpreter mode, thoughtful design touches. People are liking the design, but then it runs hot, it's unreliable, slow, projected screen relies on tiresome and finicky gestures to navigate, expensive for what it does, and short battery life. Boy, what a device, which is what I say about Reese. What a divisive man that guy is. He's always starting some feistiness.
Got him! Got him!
I don't know if Reese did deals because he said he had to like leave Pretoria for some reason. I don't know if he's on the hunt or the prowl or he's got to escape or something. But Intel, he's got a purple suit. Is he the prowler?
Yes.
Oh, I got it. Well, yeah, you might be prowling for some Intel 13th Gen K-Series CPUs, but you're not going to be able to get them because they're discontinuing them. Intel releasing a report yesterday that their 13th gen K-series SKUs, so the overclockable ones, are gonna be gone as of May 24th. This applies to the ones that you can buy at retail, the boxed ones, OEMs and HP, Dell, Lenovo, all of those companies are still gonna be able to put them into their pre-built systems, but the last product will be shipped out on June 28th. Now, with this, there's probably a lot of speculation of like, oh, look, we just talked about the story of Intel CPUs are dying, and now they're discontinuing them, which is like very likely not what's happening here. The Raptor Lake 13th gen were very close to what the 14th gen were. It's probably cannibalizing sales. They left it up for a little bit. They're still going to be selling 14th gen. I don't believe 15th gen's coming anytime soon, or if it's supposed to be called like Core Ultra 200. I don't even know what the naming scheme is going to be. I don't really even care at this point. It's ridiculous. But I don't think this is tied together in any way. These are probably just separate machinations that are going on at the exact same time. So we'll just have to wait and see what Intel has to say about why their CPUs are seemingly struggling in a bunch of different applications. But in case you want a new AMD CPU, they launched some of those on April 1st and everybody was like not paying attention because they only did it in China at a special event. But worldwide, you can now get the 8700F and the 8400F. These are CPUs that are based off of the APUs, the ones that have integrated graphics. But now they don't have those graphics. They got no internal graphics and they don't have Ryzen AI baked inside. But one of the funny things they say is that you can add a GPU and then you get Ryzen AI acceleration. But in case you want GPU acceleration to keep coming to those APUs, turns out we're not going to get much more past RDNA 3.5. That's supposed to be coming to the upcoming APUs later this year. They're going to have slightly faster Navi graphics that's just a little bit better than what's in current iterations, like something like the Z1 Extreme that's in the ROG Ally. It's just supposed to be a little bit of a boost. It's not going to be based on the new RDNA 4 architecture that we're expecting to go into the RX 8000 series GPUs. However, on top of the fact that we're getting the RDNA 3 Plus, turns out AMD's just going to sit there for a while. According to reports, they aren't planning on upgrading it until at least 2027, which is very reminiscent of the time where they just sat on on Vega from 2017 to 2021. They had one GPU architecture that worked in small form factors, and they just kept riding that Vega train until it got out of breath and couldn't continue. So it seems like we're getting a similar situation with RDNA 3 Plus. It's going to be sitting in mobiles and handhelds for a long time coming, so maybe don't expect huge leaps, games, and jumps to be happening in the handheld scene for a little while, unless they start making like custom chips that are specifically supposed to go in things like the Steam Deck or the ROG Ally. And this does make a lot of sense. RDNA 4, which is going to be in the new desktop chips, is supposed to be a massive departure. It's no longer going to be multi-chip modules. It's going to be based on a big monolithic die. They're reworking a lot of things with this new graphics setup. So the fact that they're going to keep things stagnant for a little while on the more mobile side and probably focus on AI for a while checks out in my book. And you guys wrote books upon books in the comments yesterday, so let's review those. We got Cam saying, the problem I have with Windows is that Microsoft is trying to serve two masters, the customers and the shareholders. When Microsoft puts ads into my paid operating system and they're not serving me, they're serving the shareholders against my wishes. I do not want to share ownership of my PC with Microsoft stockholders. If Windows was free, I could at least see an argument for ads, but the double dipping against my wishes is frustrating. Seems like such a small deal, but they're slowly boiling the frog and making other OSs, Mac and Linux, like more desirable. Okay, I got a couple things I want to talk about here. It's just going to be the case with every publicly traded company. They do have two masters. They have the master of, they are legally obligated to prioritize their shareholders. And the way that you do that is by building a stronger business, which means theoretically they should be upholding the customers, but you can sacrifice the customers in the short term to bolster the stock price. So that creates frustration, but that is kind of true of any publicly traded company. The second thing is this is not making Linux more appealing to anybody. I'm sorry, it's not happening. macOS, absolutely. People will switch over to Apple, but the only people switching over to Linux are the people who want a Steam Deck to play video games on the handheld go-go. And then we got Artro saying, can't wait for LGA 1851 to last 1851 seconds before Intel introduces a new socket. Then Randall saying, I like the nutrition labels for internet provider companies. I hope they implement this into the cellular network provider companies as well. Not a terrible idea if I say so myself. But then we got T12121 saying, because we have so many different choices, what's the point when you're basically stuck with one ISP? It's not like I can switch to Comcast or any other provider. I'm stuck with whichever one has a monopoly on my area, which I absolutely hear you. But I think that just because you're in a bad situation, which sucks, doesn't take away the value that this provides to everybody else who is in a situation that is not similar to yours. Anybody who does have a choice now has the ability to discern. Or additionally, just because you have access to only one ISP doesn't mean that you wouldn't benefit from clarity in how they're pricing things. If you are more informed as a consumer and as a population, then you can also bring public pressure against those companies to be better about their pricing structure, even if there is no competition. There is action that can be done with clarity of information. I see no reason to not support it just because you don't have choices in your ISPs, as much as that sucks. Additionally, I think this also shows that the FCC is looking potentially at making things better for consumers all around in terms of the ISP side of things, and making sure that internet service providers are behaving that's in ways that are more aligned with the customer, which could potentially mean that competition could be coming if, you know, they start to get things rolling. This seems like a starting point. And I feel like this would be akin to making the argument that we shouldn't have nutrition labels on food at all because candy is obviously bad for you. Yeah, like, I don't need a nutrition label for candy. I know it's 100% sugar and coloring. I know that this is in no way good for me, but that doesn't mean that I don't benefit from the nutrition label being on it in different areas and different regions. So I'm sorry you have to deal with one ISP, but having the label for everybody else still is a great idea in my opinion. Jim Bodie saying, what on earth was that dodgy looking metal object you were spinning by the phone during the noise elimination test? Kyler, can you grab me that? My dodgy looking metal object.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's my prototype LTTstore.com metal screwdriver. I won this at LTX in their charity auction, and it makes this noise. And I realize that necessarily didn't come across because most people don't actually know what this is, but it does make a lot of noise. And it's like a fidget toy in that way. That's what the idea I was trying to communicate was. Also, it sounds like this when you slam it closed. It's great. And they've got PC'd Holmes saying, it's very difficult to take you seriously when you can't make the effort to hide the one cable over your shoulder. I presume, buddy, you're talking about this one, which is very short and like, I don't have a place to hide it. Which I guess is fair, right? Like if that is something that bothers you tremendously, I don't think we're the channel for you. Cause like stuff like that just doesn't matter to me in the grand scheme of things. I got things, other things that I'm paying attention to. And if that one rogue cable is the thing that does it, I'm not gonna fix it. I'm sorry. Also, am I supposed to be taken seriously? Is that a thing that we do around here, Kyler? I said big-breasted anime women yesterday. You think, what, like...
You said it in a very authoritative way.
Yesterday, right? Yeah, like what are you expecting out of here? I don't know. And then just to continue to be a little contentious, we got Otso saying tensor, not tera, tensor operations per second when it comes to TOPS and what that means. And no, you're wrong. It's not tensor operations per second. It is literally tera. It is how many tera operations per second can do. That is what TOPS means. Tensor is, it's a specific language that's used for AI. While that is true, tensor cores are in NVIDIA GPUs. Google invented tensor processing units. You're correct. There's TensorFlow. I understand why you think that, but to correct me when you're wrong, come on, man. It takes a Google. You can find out. It stands for Terra. I'm just feisty. I'm okay with being corrected. I'm wrong a lot of times. And when you say I'm wrong, I try to listen. But you know what would be wrong of you? To not watch the videos that we have coming out this weekend. In fact, if you want to check it out before they drop here on YouTube, over on Floatplane, we got Kyler tried an Apple Vision Pro knockoff clone. You can watch that over on Floatplane right now if you want to sign up, or you can wait till tomorrow when it drops here on YouTube. But I'll drop you guys off at your place where you are right now, because Hot News is done.